Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions.
Glad to have you back this week.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back. I know it always feels kind of empty when I'm not here.
You know, it was great. Savannah was great last week. She brought a different perspective to some callers, I think, some of their questions. So it's always good when I can have my kids with me, but you know, it's good to have you too.
Well, I'm glad to be back. And I think that it's also, you know, Savannah's starting her own podcast.
Yes.
And, you know, we've kind of folks gone back and forth, you know, when she's talking to us about topics that she wants to cover and things like that. And, you know, I always get kind of, it's always a little bit cringeworthy for me to hear my daughters talk about sex and, you know, relationships and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I just said, listen, good luck. I wish you the very best in your podcast. I'm sure it'll be a huge success. What I would say to you is to make sure that anything you do, God gets the glory. So with that being said, let that be the compass for you to guide you forward in things that you discuss. Now, listen, I'm not a prude. I'm not sitting here saying that women shouldn't be discussing what, you know, healthy sex habits or needs or whatever, or, you know, how men are lying, cheating scoundrels and things like that. Because I mean, that's real life stuff.
Right.
And I want, anytime we open our mouth, I want it to be for the betterment of others, even though it may have come at a price to us.
Right.
But I also believe that you can have a podcast or a platform without being gross.
Oh, absolutely.
Are filthy. Absolutely.
I think she's just going to bring a more youthful or just a different perspective to her podcast. And it's going to be set up differently than ours is, which is good. There's room at the table for everyone.
For everyone. And listen, you started out with her perspective is different than ours on a lot of things because she's 25 and I'm 50.
Almost.
I'm 54 and you're 49.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like that, you know, absolutely her perspective is different.
Right.
But, you know, the advice that I gave her was to always, you know, try to take the high road. Sometimes people will drag you down in the ditch and you got to fight them in the ditch. But for the most part, if you take the high road and you're dealing, you know, with someone from the gutter, you're probably already too high for them to get to anyway.
Right.
So, you know, that's my hopes for her.
For sure.
We have gotten so, again, folks, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in each week, for giving us the support that you've extended to our family, and for just showing up in record numbers. I mean, we are literally so happy and so pleased with that, because it says that you're not just here for the good, you're here for all of it.
Right.
And for that, we're grateful. I mean, for the gifts and the, you know, the things that people send to us. Now, you know, as I've stated before, you know, we don't need you sending us gifts. If you want to donate on behalf of something, what's the charity that you do here? With the kids, you know, who are foster children.
For sure.
You know, if you guys want to do, you know, obviously you want to do something, because we're still getting, I mean, our FedEx truck driver and the U.S. Postal Service, I mean, they're bringing things in these boxes because you're sending so much stuff, and we appreciate it and we love you for it, but we would rather you give it to someone that's actually in need and that can benefit. You know, the letters that you send us, we love, and we do read them when we get, you know, when we can, but there's so many, and we're grateful for that. But, you know, this organization that Julie got involved with, you know, really is something she believes in and would be something that you guys could donate, you know, on behalf of us.
All right. Tennessee Alliance for Kids. I have talked about this many times. We have donated and will continue as long as we possibly can. But check them out. If there is any time you want to donate on behalf of anyone, I say, they're just an amazing organization.
So, you know, again, thank you all very much. And, you know, we've gotten so many questions, you know, on social media and in private messages, and certain things we can't answer right now, and those will be answered later. And other things I think that we, we have answered a lot of it. And, you know, I think that kind of where we are right now is, you know, we are as a family, we are still united and standing firm in our positions and in our faith. And God has never we don't waver in our faith. Now, listen, are we disappointed? Are we hurt? Yes, but we know that God has a purpose for everything. And, you know, for the people that, you know, now listen, you're always, if you've got 100 people, we're blessed because 95 of those 100 people have a positive message for us. But then you got the 5.
Yeah.
And I think that what's important and what has changed me through this ordeal is that I no longer feel the need to respond to the naysayers, to the people that don't know, to the people that have no idea what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And give credit to the 95 that are uplifting and positive.
Exactly.
And it's taken me a long time to get to that because, you know, when we first started in this business, I wanted to fire back on every person that lied on us or that said something hurtful or whatever. And now I don't feel the need to do that. And I think that's part of what God has given me is God has given me that inner peace and he's given me the full understanding of no one needs to believe our truth as long as we know our truth.
Right.
As long as God knows and we know. That's
and
all.
God
that,
knows.
And right. And that's really all that matters. So, you know, we have received so, as I said, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages and mail and gifts and, you know, things like that. And we love and appreciate each and every one of you for doing that. We love, you know, the things that are coming from this because we're seeing a lot of things that are moving and God's got his hand on that. And for that, we're grateful and appreciative. So I did want to reach back. I did want to say to all of y'all here today that we love and appreciate and respect each and every one of you that take the time to listen, to tune in, to watch our family, to send us all of these messages, this outpouring of love and support. I mean, you know, listen, we've gotten messages that said, listen, we don't know the whole truth here, but what we do know is that we love you and we love what you've brought to our family. And everyone makes mistakes. And you and I so want to come back and say, you're right, you don't know the whole truth. Hopefully in time, God is going to reveal that because God is the great healer and revealer. God says that where there's light, I mean, where there's darkness, he'll shed light. And, you know, you and I've talked about this, Julie, here recently, that what it's done for our marriage and what it's done for us with each other, how it's drawn us closer together.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
that doesn't always happen. Most time it's the opposite.
Yes. But, you know, we watched a movie that was so powerful for us that it was called, what was it?
Redeeming Love.
Redeeming Love. And I want you to talk about that for a moment and how that and how you got me to watch that and how it literally, we were both laying there weeping.
Yeah. So the movie is called Redeeming Love. And I, one of my therapists, Steve, who we've talked about on the podcast before, he said, I really want you to watch this movie. And I said, okay. And he said, it goes hand in hand with the book of Hosea. And, you know, I've grown up in the church and with Bible, but I didn't really, you know, when he said that, I was like, okay, you know, all right, I'll do it. He said, but it has a powerful message. And so I told Todd, I said, there's a movie I want us to watch. It's called Redeeming Love. And he's like, okay. All right. I said, Steve said we should really watch it. And it basically goes through like the book of
Hosea.
And it is about this young man who, you know, knew who was waiting for the woman that God was going to put in his life and that was going to be his wife, that was going to be his wife.
And he was a good, pure young man who lived in faith.
Yes. And it's like back in olden times, like I don't even know what year it actually was supposed to be shot in, but old times. And he's in the town, and all the men are gawking at this woman up in the top, on the top floor of this porch. And she was a prostitute.
She worked at the local town brothel.
She was the
crown jewel of prostitute. That brothel. And
when he saw her, God spoke to him and said, "This is going to be your wife." And he kept paying to go see her. But when he paid to go see her, he did not want any favors. He just wanted to get to know her.
Right.
And
what she thought was so weird. She had such a low self-esteem.
Right. Because of where she had come from. She had been abused her entire life and witnessed losing her mother. And
had been sold into prostitution when she was like 8 years old.
Right. She couldn't fathom how this man would want to just talk to her and not want anything from her. And, you know, he gets her from this brothel and takes her, and she leaves. She has, you know, a what would have been a beautiful life. You know, he loved her unconditionally. He did not care what her past was, because God told him, "This is your wife. This is going to be your life mate." And she kept going back because she never felt worthy. That's all that she knew was this life. And unfortunately, it's where she found her worth.
It's where she found, well, and also, and I don't mean to cut you off, but yes, it's where she, it's all that she knew. And it's all that she ever felt she was worthy of.
Right.
But it's also in the end where she finds God. Where God truly, she says, "If you exist, show up."
Exactly.
And God shows up. Yeah. So I don't.
And there's parts of the movie that are just. Todd looked at me and during several parts of the movie, and he's like, "Why would you want me to watch this? This is horrible." But it was what was going on at the time. And if you read the book of Hosea, you will see it's what was going on at the time. But the ending, I mean, we both were just literally sobbing and weeping. But it does show you the power, how powerful God really is, and how he can take something so broken and turn it into something beautiful. So I would encourage you, if you have the time to just, it's on several of the streaming apps.
We watched it on Netflix.
I think so, yes.
And, you know, what I love about it is Rama Downey Jr.
was one of the executive producers.
Rama Downey, not Junior. I keep getting Robert Downey Jr. But Rama Downey, who I love and have loved since Touched by an Angel and so many other things that she and her husband, Mark, have been involved in. And, you know, I sat with Mark at the Super Bowl one year.
Yes.
On the bus. And a lovelier man you would never meet. But she's behind this movie. And I would encourage, if you are feeling broken, watch this movie, because it will show you how God can take literally the most broken soul and turn and allow them to flourish. And so I would encourage each and every one of you,
truly, in ways truly, beyond your wildest imagination.
Yes, I'm just telling you, watch this movie, because it will change your perception towards so many ways of viewing things. And it's disturbing in certain areas and aspects, but God's redemption and God's favor and God's grace is so powerful and so prevalent in this movie that it caused Julie and I to literally, like, we literally went into prayer and got on our knees because of this. And I mean, if there's an opportunity for anyone out there to be touched by a movie the way that Julie and I were touched by this movie, Redeeming Love, I want to share that with you. It's really one of the greater gifts that I could give you outside of introducing you to our Lord and Savior. I hope that y'all will all tune in to listen to, you know, to watch that.
Okay, guys, you know, I have talked about Nutrafol because I was actually turned on to Nutrafol by Savannah. And if you're like me and the other 30 million women who are impacted by weakened or thinning hair, just know that you're not alone and that there's a solution you can trust to deliver results. Nutrafol offers two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. More than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high quality solution for healthier hair. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code CC to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. So get $15 off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CC.
And, you know, I wanted to touch on something else, too, because there's been so many, you know, we get so many messages and things. And, you know, from the first season of our show, you know, we made it very clear what our faith was. And, you know, we've always held steadfast to that. And, you know, and then I would hear people say, but how can you be a Christian and curse? And you know what? That's a poor example of Christianity. And because of those people who were saying that to me, it has caused me to think more and to, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to ever curse again, because sometimes the devil works overtime. The devil never rests, but thank you, Lord and Jesus, God works twice as hard. So the devil ain't going to ever outwork God. And, you know, I do want to be better. So the reason for bringing that up is that several messages have said, I really wish you weren't, you know, that you would not curse. And sometimes when I use a word, A, it's out of ignorance for not being able to quickly find the appropriate word to use, or B, because I don't think that what I'm trying to get across comes across as effectively as if I use that word. And so it's literally just poor judgment. But don't cause yourself to commit a sin by questioning what my faith is, because my faith is truly in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that he died on the cross for me. I know that he bled for my sins, and I know that I have failed him more times than I have granted him glory. But the beautiful thing about the God that we serve is that no matter how many times I sin, God will forgive me if I ask for that sin. I need to be repentful. I need to come to him with a repentful heart and and as a humble human being. And I need to strive and work harder to be better at not committing that sin again. And we all fall short of glory. Every day. So for all of you out there who question what our faith is, what I would say to you is don't allow your question of our faith to condemn you to hell, because I don't want you going to hell because you are casting judgment on something that you know nothing about. So I just felt the need to talk about that. You know, Judah, you wanted to go into something else too.
I did. So I talked to a friend of mine last week, Bibi, and she is just,
she's another woman. Go ahead.
She is another friend and another woman, another person that truly, if there has ever been a godly woman, I believe her to be that. I believe,
along with our friend Sherry.
Absolutely. And I believe her to have a special gift from God, that she can just speak to people, and she's so smart and can walk you through certain things. And she sent me a book last week. She sent me a few books, but one that I'm almost finished with. And I wanted to share it with you guys because it speaks to people. It's one of those books that can speak to you on so many different levels with whatever it is that you're going through in your life. But the name of the book is Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And it's by Louis Giglio. He has a church in Atlanta. It's an easy book to read, but kind of based off that movie that we were talking about, one thing I wanted to read to you guys, because I feel like it just will touch someone because it touched me so much. It said, God changes your identity. The enemy wants to define you by your scars, but Jesus wants to define you by his scars. The grace of Jesus Christ removes your old identity and replaces it with a brand new one. See what great love the Father's lavished on you, and we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. Grace not only cancels our guilt and shame, but grace redefines us. And I think so many people are allowing the enemy to sit at your table, and that can mean so many different things. Whether it's the table in your thoughts, in your actions, in your just everyday living, we don't have to allow the enemy a seat at our table because God has already prepared that table for us. And so I just wanted you to hear that because this book has spoke to me so much this week and helped me so much. And we aren't defined by our scars. We aren't defined by our sins. We aren't defined by the mistakes that we've made. But it is how we've turned those things around and how we have shared them, which is why we continue to do this podcast, because Todd and I both made a commitment that with this podcast, we are going to speak our truth. And we're going to try to help someone else. And if the podcast does not do that, if we get to a place where we're not helping others, where we're not speaking our truth, then we've reached it. The podcast has reached its course.
Right.
So I encourage you, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table by Louis Giglio. Super easy book.
But there was another part in there where you said that this guy, where he was talking about, he knew he was right. He knew he was right.
Yeah.
I want you to share that part with him.
The premise of the book, how the book came to be, the title of the book came to be, is Louis sent a friend of his a text. And it was basically a text where, let me see. Okay, he had sent his friend a text that was basically this long text that he had really thought through that, basically, I was right, and that, you know, they weren't listening to me, and, you know, wanting this validation from his friend. And he said, I remember I needed my friend's reply to commiserate with the effort that went into my message. And when it arrived, there was a one sentence reply. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. He said, I had allowed my adversity, the devil, to influence the conversation inside my mind. So he was expecting his friend to send back this long text about, yes, you were right and they were wrong and let's show them and let's do this. But instead, his friend replied with those 9 words, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And he realized he already had with the text that he had sent. So I think that is just so powerful.
And, you know, the reason that I wanted you to say that is because, you know, my dear friend Steve Harvey said to me about when you fight with your enemy, you give them an opportunity to take everything. But when you don't respond to the enemy, they take nothing. And, you know, I've always been willing to let you try to take everything because I'm going to fight you to the end.
Absolutely. I think you can say that because that has been your kind of
MO. It's what I've
It's been what you've done. You've always been on the defensive. You've always been.
And I'm tired of that.
If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you worse.
Yes.
If you say something bad about me, even though it's a lie, I'm going to come back on you. And I think through just learning, growing, praying, your relationship with God growing, you've learned that sometimes a response is not needed.
100%. And you know, I think with what you're saying there, I think that my growth has been spiritual growth.
Right.
My spiritual growth has been just so overwhelmingly powerful for me. Right. And I find, folks, that throughout my day, all day, wanting to serve God in a better way. And, you know, I was watching the documentary, which, again, is another great watch if you guys are into documentaries. I love documentaries. It was the documentary for Rita Moreno. And I love her. I've always loved her. And, you know, she's Latino, she's Hispanic, and tiny. And, you know, she dreamed of always being an actress. And it talks about how she was born into a hut in the village that she lived in. And they never wore shoes. She said, you never needed shoes. That she remembers her mother washing their laundry at the creek, where they would beat the laundry on the rocks, and the women would gather at the creek, and that's where they'd have their chat fest while their kids swam in the creek and they washed the clothes. And I want you to watch this, because I was telling you last night, it was really good. But you came in and I was listening to a song. Mm-hmm. And this song moved me so much, folks, that I literally just wept, because it meant so much to me on so many different levels. You know, we have Chloe, mm-hmm. and Chloe is biracial. You know, the African-American, we've had people from the African-American community say, stop saying she's biracial, she's Black. Then we've had people from the white community stop saying she's biracial, she's Black. And I don't adhere to that. Listen, we view Chloe as our daughter.
She is
our daughter. And, you know, God sent her here as our grandchild, but we took the responsibility as parents, and we view her as our daughter. And I view her as a child of God. And I love when Chloe says to me, because we have these conversations with her all the time, because folks on our show, Chrisley Knows Best, when we started out, we were 95% predominantly ran. Our show was ran predominantly by white people.
Right.
And when we got Chloe, we changed that. I mean, we had the one person that had made a huge impact on my life was Raja. And she was really one of only one or two African-Americans.
And Angel.
And that Angel wasn't on our show in season one. And Raja, you know, kind of brought me forward.
Yeah.
And pointing out the discrepancies of, you know, fair hiring practices and how things looked. And of course I did nothing about that. I wasn't willing to make the change because I was new. I didn't know that I had the authority to make that change. But then in comes this, one of the greatest gifts of our life, this beautiful tan baby that I thought, oh my God, she is gorgeous. And I think I thought she was gorgeous because I could see me in her. And, you know, we all know, as Rita Moreno said about, what was his name? The actor that she had the relationship with and had the abortion by?
Marlon Brando.
She said, have you ever just been with someone who they just took all the air out of your lungs, who felt like that they were the only person in the world in the room, and it's dead silence. And she goes, that's how Marlon felt about himself. And everyone just erupted in laughter. So I say that half-handedly because, you know, I joke about, you know, I saw myself in her, which automatically meant she was beautiful. Folks, I want to be very clear. If I thought that I was that beautiful, I wouldn't feel the need to constantly say, you know, well, of course she's beautiful. She takes after me. But I don't think that at any point in my life, up until the last 3 or 4 years, that I could have said that.
Okay, life's too short for a day without fun. Get a thrill whenever you need it with Slotomania, the world's number one free slots game. You'll have endless excitement at your fingertips with 170 free-to-play slot games, huge jackpots, an interactive community, and a million free coins. It's the perfect escape from your daily routine. Whether you're sitting in carpool or waiting on your kids at camp, you know what? It does give you that thrill. I love to see when I'm able to play and win a big jackpot. And, you know, you feel like you're sitting in Vegas, even though you're just waiting in your car for your kids. It's a unique gaming experience with beautiful graphics, huge progressive jackpots, fun freebies, and mini games. There's something new every day for endless variety. It's a fun mix of casino gaming and casual gaming anytime. And it's free, people. So get 1 million free coins when you download Slotomania to kickstart the fun. There's nothing more exhilarating than huge jackpots, special prizes, and free coin rewards every day. Slotomania makes every day fantastic with engaging graphics and realistic sound effects. I mean, you sit there and you see that you won 6,000 or 12,000 or 20,000. And it does give you that rush, even though it's free. It's not going to cost you anything. So when your day is feeling stale, just ask, what will today spin? If you're 21 or older, you can join millions of players around the world. Download Slotomania, the number one free slots game, on the App Store or Google Play Store and get 1 million free coins. That's Slotomania on the App Store or Google Play Store for 1 million free coins.
But, you know, going back to Raja making such a powerful impact on my life, Raja's Muslim. And Raja taught me that how close the Muslim faith was to really the way that we believe as Baptists, and that there really wasn't that big, huge divide. And then this beautiful baby comes into our life. And then she starts talking to me about how the perception. And we started getting all the nasty messages on Facebook. Facebook was the worst platform. Now, we had some on Twitter, but not that many on Instagram at that time. But we did get nasty messages from people on Twitter saying horrible things about our grandchild and how our son had messed up, you know, one of the most beautiful families on television by bringing this Black baby into our lives. And what that person didn't realize was that our family was not even remotely complete at that point without her.
That's right.
And so going back to it, we changed the ethnic makeup of our show to where it really became 50-50 to say, you know, and sometimes really actually became more 60-40. Do you not feel?
For sure.
And then God.
Well, it was the makeup that we needed.
Yes.
It was the makeup that we needed, regardless of the color of their skin.
We needed diversity running our shows.
It was the people that we needed in
our
lives.
That's right. Thank you.
We needed them way more than they needed us.
And I didn't realize what you were saying when you said that. I was saying we needed that diversity, but you were saying, no, we needed these people in our lives to make us be better.
Absolutely.
And God delivered Aisha. And God delivered Brian
and Angel. And Joseph.
Yes.
And there's so many more, but those are just the ones that stick out.
And, you know, and then Jasmine came along. And, you know, these women of color, and then Joseph and Brian, these two men, you know, with strong godly faiths, came into our life. And they would correct us in a very good way. They would say, probably wouldn't go near that.
Yeah.
Or, well, let me explain to you why that bothers you.
Right. Or why it bothers them.
Yes.
Because we didn't know.
Yes. And, you know, they were educating us. And I remember sitting at Bricktop here in Nashville with Angel and the showrunner,
Leola.
Leola And I think there was one other one that was there. And you, we were sitting there at the table, and Angel says, "But baby, what you need to understand," it was after I'd gone on Wendy Williams, and Wendy Williams said, "You have a black grandchild." I said, "I have a biracial grandchild." Mm-hmm. Her father is white. Her mother is black. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had said that I had an all white grandchild, you would be offended. Mm-hmm. So don't identify my grandchild by the color of her skin.
Right.
You say I have a granddaughter.
That's right.
And so Angel said, "I love that you say that, but let me help you help her in the future. When she's pulled over, she will be, when they radio in her tag number, they will say black female."
Yeah.
African-American female. Yeah. They will not say biracial.
Right.
They will identify her by her ethnicity, by how they view her.
Right.
So, you know, and I was so offended by that.
And I
was offended because of the policy of how that would be handled.
Right. Not because of them saying she's black or white, because it doesn't matter what color she is.
No. And Angel is this beautiful black woman who.
Beautiful inside and out.
Yeah. Now, let me just tell y'all, folks, Angel, if she walked out in the street, she's going to cause a massive car pileup. Cause now this chick has got body for days.
Okay. Well,
don't get it. You ain't got to be jealous. You built just like her.
I love her.
I think the reason I love Angel's cause she's built like you. We still trying to find out where Julie gets all of what she's got,
but
because it ain't white.
But more importantly, Angel is beautiful on the inside.
Angel has a beautiful soul, and
beautiful
she
soul.
Is a good, godly woman who lives in her scripture. But literally, she's a clean woman because she eats clean. She reads clean. She lives her life based on what is spiritually and biblically correct.
Yes.
And she has helped us so much. And she has taken that interest in Chloe, you know, taking her to shows that are African-American related or black related, that have strong black women in them. And she's helped us with that. And she has changed our life for the better.
Absolutely.
And she has been that blessing that God brought us that we didn't know we needed. Brian, who, you know, Brian is the one who corrals the talent. Brian's the one that's got to make sure Chase is on set on time, that Savannah's got what her 27 outfits and the 9 pair of earrings that she wore. So, you know, Brian is the one that's got to keep all of us, get us to the location of where we've got to film this and make sure we're dressed in the exact thing that we're supposed to be dressed in. And Brian never cracks. No matter how under pressure he would get, he would say, "I ain't gonna let you cause me to question God today. I ain't letting you do it. Uh-uh, Chase, you ain't doing it." And it was normally Chase that was causing him to do that. And Brian would say to me, I would correct Brian on certain things, and I would correct Brian on certain things. And Brian would say, I'd say, "Now, when you go to say something, you say this, let's do it this way." And he would come back and say, "You know what? You have caused me to self-correct more times than you know. And that's made me better." And I would say, "And you've caused me to self-correct more times than you even know, because of the things that you've taught me by the way you handle certain situations." And then, you know, Aisha brings to the table this strong sense of loyalty, a gay black female who lives in her own truth, who has the most beautiful head of hair, and who's helped us with Chloe, and who has loved us unconditionally. Every member of our family, she has loved unconditionally.
Yes.
And all she's ever wanted was to be loved in return unconditionally and to be treated respectful. And I feel we've given that. And, you know, we've had so many people come in our lives that God placed there that we never knew why. But now in this season, and in the last 3 seasons of our life, not just of the show, we've understood why God planted them in the soil of our life.
Yep, absolutely.
And we've watched that grow, and we've watched God nourish those relationships. And, you know, Cece Winans, who we have drawn so much comfort from, and, you know, and through her mother, you know, Mama Winans, and listening to her testimonies, and to know that this is where we are, and that we've got these kind of people to guide, you know, to guide us and to turn to and to listen to, has been such a blessing. And to know that we're raising Chloe with those in her surroundings,
yes,
has been a God blessing. It truly has been a God blessing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, going back to Rita Moreno and listening to that to her documentary, she talked about how she was, she was profiled, and that how they would paint her darker to where she would play Native American women. And then they made her play Asian women, and, you know, she'd have to fake the accent, you know, but that she never got a leading lady role. And in the background of this, of the ending of her documentary, she's like 85 or 87 now, and she's brilliant. She's still brilliant. I mean, she's doing West Side Story, the Latino version, right now with Steven Spielberg. And it's absolutely so overpowering, so overwhelming, that I was crying listening to her story. But then this song started playing, and folks, this song is for every person who feels chained, who feels oppressed, who feels locked away, not locked away in jail or prison, or, you know, just locked away in life. I want you to listen to this, because, I mean, I looked it up last night, and, I mean, Nina Simone does an amazing rendition of this. But the lyrics, the name of the song is "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free." Now, again, that's not free from prison. That's not free from, you know, it's free, being free from the chains that bind you, from oppression, from being in a relationship that's holding you back. It's for anyone who feels as if something is holding them back from being who they know they are in their heart and have the right to be. But these lyrics were so powerful that I wanted to share them with you today. The name of the song is called "I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free." I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart, remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you would see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. Well, I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if I found I could fly. Oh, I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. And then I'd sing, because I'd know, yeah. Then I'd sing, because I'd know. I'd know how it feels. I'd know how it feels to be free. Oh, I'd know how it feels. Yes, I'd know. I'd know how it feels. How it feels to be free. Lord, 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 yes, how it feels to be free. And that resonated with me so profoundly because, A, the song's written by an African-American male. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that it meant oppression from his perspective.
Right.
I took it, and not to diminish his true meaning of that, of the writing of that song of oppression, but I believe that's why she chose that song in her documentary, because she was oppressed as a Latino.
Right.
Hiring. If that word doesn't get you excited to find your next favorite team member, you need the hiring partner that makes finding quality candidates easy. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster with time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Indeed Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. And, you know, I've talked about Indeed many times before. The thing that I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so much easier. And no other job site takes care of you like Indeed, because with Indeed, you only have to pay if an applicant meets your must-have requirements. Indeed puts you in control of what you pay. So, like me, join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And Indeed's doing something no other job site has done. Now with Indeed, businesses only pay for quality applications matching the sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/CC to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/CC. That's Indeed, Indeed.com/CC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I believe she played that song to show oppression. And today, oppression is not just about race.
Yeah.
Today, oppression is about being a female. Mm-hmm. Today, oppression is about being in a situation that you're locked in and see no way out of. Right. Oppression is not just defined by color anymore. Oppression is defined to me today by the circumstances of the situation that you're in and of the options of getting out of that. Oppression to me means that all of us should have the same right to leave a room when we feel that we're being disrespected.
Right.
Oppression means when someone has a right to do something that someone else doesn't have that same right to do.
Right.
Oppression means when we want to say something so deeply, and that thought of saying it, the fear prevents us from saying it.
Right.
That to me is oppression. So I want, if two great things that you guys that will change your lives, I feel, is Redeeming Love and watching the documentary about Rita Moreno. It literally, and listen to that song. Nina Simone literally sends cold chills over you just to hear her sing it. But those are three things that if we leave you with nothing today, we've left something on your table that will cause you to think. It will cause you to pray. It will cause you to feel better about your circumstances. So for that, I feel blessed in leaving that with you. So do you want to try to get a couple callers?
Yeah.
Let's go to the first caller, please.
Hello, Todd. Hello, Julie. This is Sean. I am from Houston, Texas, and I absolutely love you guys. I love your family. Oh, my God. So stupid crazy about Mama Faye. Like, I love it. Like, I love the way you guys are grounded and rooted, and you're believing in God, and you have very, very strong faith. I'm sorry, I don't have a question or anything like that, but I just wanted to share with you all that your family, watching the shows, my daughter actually got me started watching your show. And Todd, you are absolutely amazing. Like, I super, super duper love you. I just feel like I know y'all because y'all are so down to earth. And Todd, I really want to thank you because I tell my kids that I love them. I every time I leave them, when I talk to them, and you know, when they're going off to school, going off to work, and I've never done that. And for you, listening to you tell me that or tell your kids that, I say that, and I appreciate that. So, you know, y'all keep up the good work, and forget about the negativity that everybody has to say about you, guys, because you're absolutely amazing and I love y'all. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That message means more than you know. And that's what I'm talking about spreading goodwill.
Yes.
I mean, just your kind words now affects the way that we move on with the rest of our day.
Absolutely.
And just like negativity can affect you, but negativity can only affect you if you allow it to come into your life. Just like your good words and your goodwill can only affect us if we're open to receiving that. And I am open to receiving what you are laying out here. And I feel blessed and grateful that you have implemented something with your children that we do with our children and always have, because I feel that there is never too many times that you have to say, I love you to someone, because tomorrow is not promised.
Amen.
And you know, yesterday is the past, today is the present, and tomorrow's the unknown. So my past, I've told my children that I love them. Today, I've told my children that I love them. And if I don't make it until tomorrow, my children will know that I died, with the last thing being, I love you. So love comes in all different ways. I have always been a giver of material things, but I always gave of my heart. And regardless of what anyone says about me or my wife or my family, no one knows our heart like our Lord and Savior knows our heart, other than those people that are truly close to us. And those are the people that matter to us. Now, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't want to reach more people and that I don't want to share how God is working in my life and how he's making me feel and how I have felt for many years, because I do. And I welcome sitting down with people that don't share the same opinions as us.
Absolutely.
That to me is the greatest testimony of love, is being able to share your table with someone who you don't have really anything in common with. Because by the end of that meal, you will find you have more in common with that person than you ever even imagined. So for you and Houston sending this message today, thank you. And I love and respect you. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name's Angie from Carthage, Tennessee, which is not far from you guys. Glad you all live in Tennessee now. Love your show. Love your family. Love watching all the shows that you have. Todd, you're silly and crazy. My question is, Julie, what would I do? I'm a 54-year-old wife of a 57-year-old man that has diabetes. He's had all his life. He does have a right prosthetic. We've lost his foot 3 years ago. Let's see, he's got some eye issues from his diabetes. But our sex life totally ended 3 years ago. We got married 3 years ago. We had sex one time. I don't know what to do. I've tried to talk to him. I don't know what to do to get this, to make him see that this is a real issue. And I need this. I need this in my life. I'm still a young woman. I need this. Somebody help me out. Is there anything you could do or give me advice to help me out? Thank you so much. Love you guys. Bye.
Hi, Angie. Oh, my gosh. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry that your husband has all these health issues. And I think that, you know, that could be the issue. Because of all of his health issues, he may not physically be able to. And I don't know if you, and I would imagine for a man, that would be a very hard, hard conversation to have. But, you know, I would encourage him to make sure that physically and medically that it's something he can do. If it is something he can do, then you guys need to, you know, you need to express that to him. And you know, maybe find somebody that you can talk to, because
not somebody to have sex with.
No, but somebody, whether it's somebody that can help you both get to a place where you're getting from the marriage what you need, and he understands the importance of that.
Yes. And I mean, you know, So he's 50. How old did she say?
He's 57, I think.
He's 57. 57, things should still be working perfectly fine. I'm 54. All of my parts work and I'm great.
But everyone's different.
Everyone's, I'm going to get to that. Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. You know, he's diabetic. He's lost a foot. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, if I lost my foot, I could still make my way to your bed. Might take me longer to get there, but I'm going to get there. Help me get up on bed and then you can do the rest. But, you know, I think that he needs to understand, just like you're talking to us right now, really more talking to Julie. I think you need to say to him, not in a judgmental way, because listen, all men, before they go into a bedroom with a woman, they already know they're going to be the best she's ever had. They already know that they ain't no man ever going to hit it like he's going to hit it. They going to automatically say, I'm hung to my kneecap and you in there trying to find a thumb. But you ain't going to convince that man of that. Because somewhere when he was growing up, his mama made him feel like he was the best thing that had ever been born. Julie has made our boys feel that way their whole life. But what I do think you need to say is you need to say to him, we need to talk. That one time of us having sex, I know that, you know, you don't feel good. And we need to get with the doctors and let's figure this out, because I'm a young woman. I married you because I'm in love with you. Biblically, this is something that we should be wanting to do. And if you don't have that desire, there's medications for that. If it's because of your health, we need to get your health regulated. And even if he doesn't feel like it, there's things that he can be doing that satisfy you. So, you know, I would encourage you to have the conversation. And I also encourage you to find you a therapist that can work with both of you, that is also has a background in sex therapy. Because like I said, there's too many things going on today that help prevent the situations that you're in right now. So good luck. God bless you. Let me know in the next couple of months if things hadn't worked out for you. And then if they hadn't, then I'm going to have my friend Candy Burris send you something from Candy Coated Nights. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Jen calling from Nashville. And I just wanted to say that I'm one of your biggest fans of your show, your podcast, and just your family in general. And I just wanted to call, just offer my support and to say that I will always be a fan no matter what happens. I'm extremely sad to hear of current times with your court verdict. And I just wanted to call and say that I pray that God sees you through this. He will. I pray that truth comes to light, and I believe that in the end, you and Julie will come out stronger than ever and show the truth. So I just wanted to call and say you've been a big inspiration and positive light and influence in my life, and I just pray that things go well for you. I say a prayer for you every day and your family, and I'm happy to hear that you're doing as best as you can, and I pray that just everything works out the way it should in the end, which I believe will be in your favor. God bless you all and have a great day.
Jen, thank you so much. I'm from Nashville. For your support, for your kind words. They do mean more than you will ever know. We do not take anything that someone says, any kind of support that we get, any phone call, any text message, any message on social media, we appreciate and we take them so seriously. And we do believe in the power of prayer. And we just appreciate it more than you know. So thank you so much.
Is Is the piece of plastic in your wallet doing enough for you? Because with the Secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start building credit with everyday purchases and on-time payments. You see, with Credit Builder, members can increase their credit history with no annual fees or interest. And having a good credit score can mean getting better car loan rates or renting apartments easier or just bragging rights around the dinner table. So continue your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/Chrisley. That's chime.com/Chrisley. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank NA, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the Secure Chime Credit Builder credit Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary, and some user scores may not improve.
Hey everyone, this is Heather Dubrow, and do I have some exciting news for you? We are launching a variety of new episodes that are going to have amazing special guests, some of my close friends, and so much more. It's going to be really fun, and we're going to get to hear from fans, new friends, and get an inside look of my world. We're really excited for you to listen and join in for Heather Dubrow's World on Podcast One. Episodes drop on Thursdays and Fridays. Tune in on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next caller, please.
Hey, Julie and Todd. This is Caitlin from Virginia. I am such a huge fan of you all. You're 100% my most favorite celebrities ever. So I don't really have a question. I kind of have a request, and Julie, please don't hate me for this, but Todd, could you do a complete podcast just on your political views? I really like listening to it. Thank you all, and I love y'all so much. And can you please give Nanny Faye a kiss for me? She is just such a little sweetheart. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Caitlin. Do a podcast just on my political views. You know, I don't think that I could be in any worse shape than what I'm in right now. You know, I think, absolutely, I'm willing to share my political views. And I think what makes our country such a great place are the potential to become being a great place again is the right that we have to view things differently, but we must respect that the person that we don't agree with has the right to believe the way they believe. And, you know, we're not getting anywhere by casting stones. I mean, I think that we're seeing that in Congress right now. We're seeing that in the Senate. We're seeing it in the House. We're seeing it in these January 6th congressional, hearings that they're having. And, you know, we're seeing it in the way that the whole COVID pandemic thing has been, you know, mismanaged, and how people are just being forced into doing things that they don't want to do in, or that they don't believe in, or people are threatening to take jobs or whatever. That's not the way. That's not the way for us to get to where we need to get to. We can't revert back to things that we thought we had already corrected. And by force, I learned this in raising children a long time ago, that respect is earned. You can't beat it into a child. You can't force them to respect you. You have to earn it. And if you don't earn the respect, then people are not going to follow you. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to believe you. And I think that's where we are in this country. The country lacks respect as a whole.
Yes.
We lack respect in our government agencies. We lack respect in Congress, in the Senate, in the House, and in the presidency. And that's not targeting Joe Biden. It's targeting every president who has sat in the Oval Office. Respect has not always been their first and foremost agenda.
Right.
And I believe that as a president of the United States, that we should solicit voters based on how we can respect that specific community that we're targeting for their support.
Right.
You respect the Latino community if you get out in it, if you immerse yourself in it, if you know what, you know, what the Latino community believes in and what their strong convictional faith is and how they want to see their families raised. You immerse yourself in the African-American community when you truly want to know what is your fear of being Black in this country.
And how do we truly help you long term, not temporary?
Put a Band-Aid on it. I mean, I was just reading yesterday that California passed a law that was supposed to support and provide all this funding for mental health. And now that funding, and I'm going to always, because I always like to make sure that I'm repeating 100% accurate. You know, when you start looking at it, you get all these people out here that run for public office and they don't do what they say they're going to do. They just don't do it. And it's that bothers me because, I mean, at the end of the day, You need to do what you say you're going to do and say what say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you're not going to do that, then guess what? Nothing's going to change. So I just found this. California implemented a tax on millionaires that was supposed to ease California's mental health crisis. $29 billion later, it's fallen short due to diverted funds, bureaucracy, and staff shortages. Now, folks, the supporters promised money from Proposition 63 would drastically reduce the homelessness and improve access to services for all Californians. Now, since the voters approved the tax in 2004, it's generated an escalating gusher of money to the tune of $29 billion. And California has the largest homeless rate in the country. With $29 billion of additional tax revenue from taxing millionaires, and the money has been diverted and tied up in bureaucracy and shortage of staff members. Folks, you got $29 billion and you can't find people to work. What the hell does that say about our country? See, there I went and said hail. Mm-hmm. But again, I had to emphasize the point. So, Caitlin, my political views are this. We've got to love each other as we love ourselves. We've got to want for our neighbor what we expect to have for ourselves. We've got to know that every child in this country, in the world, deserves an education.
And to be fed.
And that they deserve to never go hungry. That they deserve to be in a home to where they don't have to feel afraid. We as a country can provide all of these things. But we have to take away the rights of the people that prevent this from happening. And when I say take away that right, I'm talking about the lawmakers. I'm talking about Congress. I'm talking about Senate. I'm saying in the House that you have the power to say you ran on this platform. This is what your platform was. And play the dead blame campaign speeches right in front of their faces and say, what have you done to bring forth what I voted for you for? I mean, you know, you've got all you either you're a Liz Cheney supporter or you're not. I am not a Liz Cheney supporter. Has nothing to do that she went against Trump because Trump made his bed. He made mistakes, but I'd rather have him than what I got right now. I'd rather dance with the devil I know than the devil I don't. The one we got right now can't even dance. So at the end of the day, I am for what is going to be for the best for the majority of the people. We're never going to make everyone happy. But if we can get 80% happy and 20% is not, then the 80% that's happy is not bitching. So now we got more time to focus on the 20% to get them where they need to get to. And, you know, that's kind of my political views. I think that we're where we are now because we're like lambs being led to slaughter. It's that simple. We want to believe without doing the research of the prophet that we're following. And that's what all of this is. These politicians are false prophets. They're promising you that they can do what God hasn't done. Well, that's not true. They need to stick to what they can do. And everything they do, they need to be doing it for the glorification of God. And if they do that, then the world will be a better place. If you're not a Christian, I don't hate you. I don't disagree that you have the right to not believe. That is your personal choice. It is your choice to believe. But just as it's your choice to believe, your choice to not believe should not impact my children's rights to learn how to believe correctly and make an informed decision off of what we're teaching them at home. So when you take out the Bible from school, when you take out the Pledge of Allegiance, when you take out that we are supposed to stand and salute our troops, that is a downhill cycle. You can go tear down every statue that you want to tear down. It ain't going to change the oppression that went on. It's not going to change all the bad deeds that occurred. I personally would like to see them standing there as a reminder of our bad behavior.
So that we don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Here is a statue of a man who supported slavery. Let's be better. Now we don't even have that for these kids to go on a field trip for an educated teacher to say, now let me tell you why this statue is here. Let me tell you what it signifies. It signifies that he was a general in an army that fought to take away the rights of African-American citizens. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do it that way. Let's educate from our past. Don't try to make our past go away, because we only become better by learning from the mistakes that we've made. And I am teaching my granddaughter, she's learning about slavery. I mean, it's huge in our family. She is tutored by an African-American woman. She is taught about slavery, but she's taught about how this originated from the inception and how we got to where we are in this country and how we need to be better, you know, because of that. But we don't become better by whitewashing it. We don't become better by pretending that it didn't exist. We become better by acknowledging that it was there then and we're here today. That's how we get better. So, Caitlin, I'm going to leave you with that.
And on that note, Todd has performed his sermon for the day.
Yes. So with that being said, folks, again, we thank each and every one of you for tuning in each week to Chrisley Confessions and, you know, Chrisley Knows Best and Growing Up Chrisley.
New episodes on Thursday.
Yes. And so we thank each and every one of you. And from our home and hearts to yours, good luck and God bless always. Thank you.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.